وقالوا أينا لم يظلم نفسه.
They said, who amongst us does not commit sins? Because the verse says, believe and don't do any sins with this. They said, who doesn't commit sins amongst us? So the Prophet ﷺ said, explaining what he was saying, Did you not hear or read what Luqman said to his son? Oh my son, do not commit shirk with Allah. This is a big sin. So he explained that what is meant by sin in this verse is shirk, specifically. This is why Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, who explained his fiqh in his chapter title. Look at the chapter title he put in his book, in his sahih. He said, the chapter, that dhulms are of different types, that sins are of different types, because the worst sin is shirk. And then there are other levels that come underneath that. So he's saying sins versus other sins, that they're different levels. And then he made this hadith that we just quoted, that the greatest sin is dhulm. So dhulm or sin is of different levels, and the greatest sin is shirk. So the Prophet ﷺ explained that the meaning of sin in this verse is shirk in particular. Those who believe and don't mix their iman with any injustice, with any sin, meaning they don't believe, mix their iman with shirk. This is the meaning of the verse. These are the ones that will be protected and they will be guided. So tawheed and true iman, these are the categories, or these are how you are going to attain perfection and peace. So this man, he said, true tawheed, listen what he said, true and pure tawheed,
الذي لو وضعت منه ذرة على جبال من الذنوب والخطايا لأذابتها وبدلت.
He said, this is the ultimate solution, that if it is put on a whole mountain of sins, it will dissolve the whole sins. Okay. He said, the pure and sincere tawheed is like the greatest medicine, or the greatest solution. One drop, if it were to put on a whole mountain of sins, it will dissolve it totally and take it away. Did not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say in a hadith Qudsi that has been reported by Muslim and Tirmidhi, from the hadith of Anas, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O son of Adam, as long as you call me and hope in me, then I will forgive all that you do and I will not care. O son of Adam, if your sins go all the way to the skies, then you seek my forgiveness, I will forgive you. No matter how much you will have, I don't care. O son of Adam, if you come to me with all of the earth full of sins, and then you commit and you do not commit shirk, and you meet me without committing shirk, then I'm going to come to you with an earth full of forgiveness. This is what tawheed is. This is the benefits of tawheed, that it forgives everything. As was reported by Bukhari and Muslim in the hadith of Ubadah ibn Samit radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, whoever testifies La ilaha illallah and Muhammad is his messenger, and that Isa is a servant of Allah and a messenger of Allah, he is not a god, nor is he the son of a god, nor is he the son of a wife of a god, may Allah be far above what they say he is. And may Allah bless Ibn Qayyim, who said, O people who worship this God, how can a nation who claimed to have killed this God, Jesus Christ, how can you worship a person who was claimed to be killed by this nation? He's giving some poetry. Okay, it's basically describing that Jesus Christ is a normal human being. He was born, he had 9 months in Mary's stomach. He was born a normal birth. Then he suckled from Mary's breast. How can this be your God? This is Ibn Qayyim's poetry. Like Allah says in the Quran, you have brought forth a blasphemous thing. the earth are going to be shattered and the whole skies are going to fall and the mountains are going to break that you dare claim that Allah has a son. And it is not possible that Allah can take a son. All that is in the heavens and the earth, they come as a servant to Allah. He has counted every single one of them and He knows them. And all of them are going to come on the Day of Judgment one by one. Whoever testifies, so we go back to the hadith, whoever testifies, La ilaha illallah, and Muhammad is His messenger, and that Isa is the slave of Allah and His messenger, and that His word that He gave to Mary. Imam Ahmad said that Isa was because of kun. Isa himself is not kun, but Isa was because of kun. Beautiful statement. Isa was because of kun. Kun meaning be. Isa himself is not kun, but Isa was because of kun. Allah says in the Quran, the example of Isa in the to Allah is like the example of Adam. Allah created him from dust and He said kun, and he was. So Allah said kun, and so Isa was formed. So the Prophet said, whoever says La ilaha illallah and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, and that Isa is the servant of Allah and His messenger, and this the word that He gave to Mary, and a spirit from Him, and that Jannah is true and that hell is true, then Allah is going to cause him to enter Jannah no matter what he has done of deeds. In another narration, the Prophet said Allah will cause him to enter Jannah no matter what he has done, because Allah has made the hellfire haram for him who said La ilaha illallah. As long as he says it sincerely for the sake of Allah. If he says La ilaha illallah sincerely for the sake of Allah, Allah has made Jahannam haram for him. Oh Allah, make Jahannam haram for us and make us enter upon Jannah, oh Allah. Tawheed is the basis of security and peace. Those who believe and don't mix their iman with zulm, meaning shirk, these are the ones that are going to have peace and security. So the Prophet explained that the meaning of zulm or sin in this verse is shirk. Likewise, Allah says, commanding hajj, do hajj and umrah for the sake of Allah. Okay Allah, we hear and we obey. Tayyib, let's go. Open up the Quran and teach me how to do hajj. How are you going to do hajj? Where are you going to put the lower garment on? Where are you going to put the upper garment on? What place, what miqat are you going to put it on? What timings of the year are you going to do it? What are the pillars of Hajj? What time should we stand in Arafah? What is the difference between the valley of Arafah and the valley of Urana? What is the difference between Mina and Muzdalifah? When are you going to leave Arafah? When are you going to sleep in Mina? How are you going to throw the stones? How are you going to do tawaf? How are you going to begin the tawaf? Where are you going to begin the sa'i from? When are you going to begin? And from where are you going to begin? And how are you going to begin? No one is going to be able to respond to you except the Sahaba who saw the Prophet ﷺ, how he did Hajj, and then they transmitted to us from the Sunnah. He says, I see as if you're sleeping or something, wake up. So the Sunnah is an explanation and clarifies what the Quran has mentioned briefly. Allah says to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we have revealed to you the book so that you can explain to mankind. Is there any verse more clear than this? We have revealed to you this book so that you can explain to mankind what has been revealed to them. So the Prophet will explain what the Quran has come with. O person of the Sunnah, will explain to people. We have revealed to you this Quran so that you can explain to them what has been revealed to them. So the Quran has come with certain rules, certain vague commandments, imprecise rulings, and the explanation and elaboration of that has come from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is the second perspective of the Sunnah with the Quran. Going back to what Ibn Qayyim said, that the Sunnah explains and clarifies what is in the Quran in a brief manner. The third perspective, and is of the most important perspective of the Sunnah when it comes to interaction with the Quran, it is, now carefully listen, that the Sunnah makes it obligatory that the sunnah comes forth with some new obligatory act that the Quran has not come with, or something new that is haram that the Quran has not come with. So the sunnah comes with a new law that is not found in the Quran, either something that makes something obligatory or a law that makes something haram, which is not found in the sunnah, in the Quran. So it makes something halal or haram that the Quran itself does not mention. So the sunnah here, it is like it's a different category of obtaining our rulings from. That the Quran makes something halal and makes something haram. And the sunnah also makes something halal and makes something haram, separate from the Quran. Abu Dawood reported, Anna Tirmidhi, Anna Nisa'i, Anna Ibn Majah, in an authentic isnad from the hadith of Miqdad Ibn Ma'di Karib, famous companion, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, verily I have been given the Quran and something similar to it. Indeed I have been given the Quran, the book, and something similar along with the book. Something along with it is what? Meaning the sunnah. Indeed I have been given the kitab and something equivalent to the kitab. It is possible that soon a fat person leaning back on a couch will say, all you have to do is follow the Quran. Whatever you find in this Quran that is halal, make it halal. Whatever you find in the Quran that is haram, make it haram. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, indeed that the domesticated donkey is not allowed for you to eat. The domesticated donkey is not found in the Quran that is haram. Yet the Prophet said in this hadith, likewise every predator that eats with its claws. And in one narration the Prophet said, whatever the Prophet makes haram, it is as if Allah has made it haram. Whatever the Prophet has come and said this is haram, it is as if Allah has made it haram. So it's equivalent to the status of the Quran. Indeed, whatever the Prophet has made haram is the same as if Allah himself has made it haram. This is a hadith. The Prophet himself is a sort of law. So these people are going to come and say, these people that doubt the sunnah, and they said, oh man, if you wish to prove to us truly that the sunnah is important, then come with us to the Quran. Don't quote us hadith, because we're not going to listen to these hadith. We want only the Quran. Prove to us from the Quran that we have to follow the sunnah. He said, beautiful. Did I not show you or prove to you that it is obligatory to believe in the Prophet and to obey him and to believe in everything he said and to love him? I'm not going to quote one evidence, but I'm going to quote you a whole wave of evidences. So these people, they think they're only going to take the Quran. They're not going to take the Sunnah. So Allah says the Quran in the Quran, believing, commanding us to believe in the Prophet and commanding us to follow his Sunnah and to believe in what he says and to love in him, to love in him in a way that we love more than ourselves. Allah says in the Quran, listen, now these are the evidences. All you who believe in Allah and in his Prophet. What is the ayah? What is the verse? There's a verse. All you who believe in Allah and in his prophets, and in the books that we have revealed to our prophets, and in the books that we have revealed before this prophet, and whoever disbelieves in Allah and his angels and his prophets and in the day of judgment, then he has gone astray, afar astray. Allah says in the Quran, whatever the prophet gives you, whatever the Prophet gives you, then take it. And whatever he stops you from doing, then stop it. And fear Allah, Allah is severe in punishment. Allah says in the Quran, nay, by your Lord, they do not have faith until they cause you, O Muhammad, to be a judge in all of their affairs. And then they don't find in their hearts a problem in following you. And they submit wholeheartedly to your statements. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, it is not possible for believing man or believing woman, when Allah and His Messenger have decided something, whenever Allah and His Messenger have decided something, that they then follow something else besides what Allah and His Messenger have decided. Whoever disobeys Allah and His Messenger, then indeed he has gone very far astray. And Allah says, the speech of the believers when they are called to Allah and His Messenger is that they say, when they are called to judge them, they say, we hear and we obey. And these are the true believers. Whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger, and he fears Allah, and he has taqwa of Allah, then these are the ones who will be successful. And Allah said, if you truly believe, love Allah, if you love Allah, then follow me, meaning the Prophet, and Allah will love you. And Allah said, those who give you their oaths, they are giving their oaths to Allah. And Allah said, O you who believe, obey Allah and obey the messengers and those who are, that are in charge of authority amongst you. If you disagree about something, then take it back to Allah and His Messenger if you truly believe in Allah and the Day of Judgment. This is the best interpretation and the greatest. Maymun ibn Mahran stated, taking it back to Allah means taking it back to the Quran. Taking it back to the Prophet means taking it back to the Sunnah, or to the Prophet while he was alive, and to the Sunnah after he dies. All you who believe, obey Allah and obey the Messenger and those that are in charge of you. And if you disagree about something, then take it back to Allah and His Messenger if you truly believe in Allah and the final day. This is the best interpretation and the greatest thing to do. Allah says in the Quran, do you not see those who claim that they believe in what Allah has revealed to you, but they still want to get judged by Tawhut or false gods and false ways, and Shaitan wants to cause them or lead them astray? When it is said to them, come to what Allah has revealed and to the prophets, you see the munafiqeen, they turn away and they block you. In fact, Allah has summarized the whole matter in one small verse. Allah says, مَنْ يُطِعِ الرَّسُولَ فَغَلَطَ اللَّهِ, whoever obeys the Prophet has indeed obeyed Allah. Whoever obeys the Prophet has obeyed Allah. Is there any verse more comprehensive than this? Do you need more evidences than what we have just said about believing in the Sunnah and in obeying the Prophet وسلم, and in listening to him and in obeying all of his commandments and in listening to everything he says and in believing in him and in showing love to him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? All of the paths to Allah are blocked except the path that the Prophet ﷺ has shown us. All of the paths to Allah are blocked except for the path that the Prophet ﷺ has shown us. Ibn Taymiyyah said that the comprehensiveness of the religion is based upon two fundamental things. The first principle, that we worship Allah alone without associating partners with Him. And this is the reality of our statement, La ilaha illallah. The second principle is that we worship Him based upon how the Prophet ﷺ told us to worship Him. And this is the implication of Muhammad Rasulullah, that we worship Allah based upon the Muhammad ﷺ. So the first shahada, we analyze who we worship. The second shahada, we talk about how do we do that worship. So there is no way to worship Allah except the way of the Mustafa, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the proper religion. Worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, submitting ourselves to Him. This is the tawheed of worship. Tawheed of worship. The religion is not just knowing Allah exists. No. Abu Jahl knew that Allah existed. The mushrikun, they believed Allah existed. If you were to ask the mushrikeen who created them and who gave them rizq, they would say Allah. If you were to ask them who created the heavens and the earth, they would say, they would have said, the Aziz, the Alim created them. Two of the names of Allah. So they acknowledge Allah existed. But if they didn't worship only Allah, then he is a mushrik. Just like the mushrikeen of the early times, like Abu Jahl. The true religion is that when you purify your worship to Allah, not just you acknowledge Allah exists. We have not sent any prophet except that we've inspired him. We have not sent any prophet except that we've inspired him, that there is no God, there is no true deity that is worthy of worship except me, so worship me. So this is the tawheed of worship. Yes, brothers. So the Prophet ﷺ is a lawgiver in and of himself, along with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah makes laws and the Prophet also makes laws. Qurtubi said, Imam al-Qurtubi, concerning the statement of Allah, O you who believe, do not try to go forth in front of Allah and His Messenger. Al-Qurtubi said, meaning, do not take any statement or any action above the statements of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the statements and actions of the Prophet. Because whoever puts his own statements and actions above the statements of Allah and His Messenger, then he has in fact put himself above Allah and himself above the Prophet. Because the Prophet is the one who is taken from what Allah has told him to do. The Prophet only makes halal what Allah has made halal, and he only makes haram what Allah has made haram. All of the religion is from the Prophet. Whatever the Prophet made with laws, it is from the permission of Allah and from the command of Allah and from the knowledge of Allah. Allah says in the Quran, He does not speak of His own desires. No, it is an inspiration that is given to Him, taught to Him by one that is strong. Allah says that I swear by that which you see and that which you don't see. It is the statement of a noble prophet. It is not the statement of a madman or a magician. Little do you believe. No, it is a revelation from the Lord of the worlds. And if He dared to forge some words against us, then we would held Him from the right hand and cut His throat off. And none of you could stop Him, could prevent that from happening to Him. Allah is swearing about the authenticity and the truthfulness of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And history itself testifies to the truthfulness of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Everything that he said about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Astaghfirullah.
Does the Muslim need to go to history? Does he need history to prove that the Prophet ﷺ was truthful? After Allah Himself has told us that the Prophet ﷺ is truthful, do we need to go to history? What Allah Himself has sworn to His test, to His truthfulness. In Mecca, the parliament, the Mushrikeen parliament, in Mecca, the Prophet's time, they themselves labeled him Al-Amin and Al-Sadiq, the truthful one. The Mushrikeen themselves, their parliament, they labeled him this. Abu Jahl himself said, I don't reject Muhammad, but I reject the thing that he came with. So, the Quran wrote down what he said and revealed what he said, that they don't reject you, but the zalimeen, they reject the signs of Allah. They're not rejecting you as a person, they're rejecting what you come with and the signs of Allah. Even the mushrikeen, they acknowledge that the Prophet is truthful. They said that he is the sadiq, the truthful. So the Prophet does not give laws except from Allah and with the permission of Allah, and he makes things haram with the permission of Allah, and he speaks with the permission of Allah. And Imam al-Shanqiti, I read something from him, and he was commenting on the verse, O you who believe, do not go forth or in front of Allah and His Messenger, and fear Allah. Allah is ever hearing and knowing everything. Shanqiti said, this verse also applies to those type of laws that don't come under Islam. That when you make laws that Allah Himself has not made, then you are taking them in front of the Quran, in front of Allah and His Messenger. There is no laws except the laws of the Quran and the Sunnah. There are no laws except that which come down through the Quran and the Sunnah. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. After these Quranic evidences, we can now prove with the Hadith or the Sunnah evidences. So the person of the Sunnah, the Prophet ﷺ said, he said, as in reported in Sahih Bukhari from the Hadith of Abu Huraira, whoever obeys me, then he has obeyed Allah, and whoever disobeys me, then he has disobeyed Allah, and whoever obeys my leader, the one whom I leader, then he has obeyed me, and whoever disobeys my leader, then he has disobeyed me. Whoever obeys the Prophet has indeed obeyed Allah. Whoever obeys me has obeyed Allah. And whoever disobeys me has disobeyed Allah. And of the most beautiful hadith is the hadith reported by Bukhari from Jabir, who said, angels came to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. And he was sleeping. And some of the angels then said, he is sleeping. Other angels said, the eyes are sleeping, but the heart is still wake up, is still awake. Because the Prophet ﷺ, his heart would be awake. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's reminding you to say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, don't be miserly, to say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, don't be miserly, always say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So some of the angels said he's sleeping, and others said no, his eyes are sleeping but his heart is awake. So some of the angels then said, the example of this person is a parable, so tell to him this parable. Again some of the angels said he is sleeping. Some of them said, responded, no, his eyes are sleeping but his heart is awake. So then he said, the example of this man Muhammad is like a parable.